All right, welcome to the Create 558 podcast. I'm your host, Craig Shanklin.
Co-host, Steve LaFranza.
And we are excited about being back with you all on another podcast. And we have a lot of things that we want to talk about and a lot of things that we're talking about. We always talk about lifestyle design. I know I repeated myself. We always talk about lifestyle design, but we're actually formulating and talking about putting a plan together to get out of the matrix. And when we say the matrix, we're talking about, you know, a 9-to-5 job, a scripted pattern of what you're supposed to do to make more money at the job, expectations that come with being in a company, whether it's college or it's a master's degree, that after your initial college, whether it's student debt, loans, all these different things that we're being told and people are being funneled toward. We're actively trying to decode and dismantle the matrix in our lives. I'm very likely going to be moving to Panama or someplace in the, you know, in Central America, South America. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of research and looking around and things like that. There are a lot of Americans down there, and there's a lot of incentives. You don't have to pay taxes for 20 years if you have a house built. You don't have to pay taxes on the house for 20 years. There are a lot of incentives for expats that come down with confirmed pensions and retirement accounts. You don't get taxed again from the U.S. You know, U.S. is going to tax you on your retirement money, but they're not going to. There's 50 to 75% off of hotels, restaurants, healthcare, all these different things. So the Panamanian government has set this thing up in such a way to attract expats. It's largely, it's a Spanish-speaking country with the American dollar, and there's also a large portion of people that are bilingual. A lot of American expats are there in communities.
What's an expat?
An expat is someone who is from the United States. It's called an expatriate. And, you know, if you're living outside the country, you're an expat. And there's just a ton of people who, long before us, when the canal went in down there, they decided, you know, this is paradise and I'm going to go down there. Now, the economy has changed. And the American dollar is still the main source of currency. And things aren't as cheap as they used to be. But I was there, and there are some things that are still very cheap, very reasonable. And it's very beautiful. You got your, you know, choices of different climates. You've got, you know, the mountains. You've got the beaches. And you've got the in-between. And Panama City is like a I would say it's a different version of Miami. Not as nice, but there are some places that are very nice, and it looks to be a lot like Miami. And it's a beautiful place. The canal is there. There's a ton of other things. Now, as far as crime goes, it's very safe. The police do not really have a large problem with crime, even though there's crime in any place you go, even in the U.S. But it's not over the top. Oh, you know, you got to nail everything down. A lot of people have standard bars on the windows and things like that. There are people who rob and things like that, but you can get that in any rough city in the U.S. or any rough neighborhood. You are allowed to carry a gun, so that's attractive to me as well. And, you know, I just... the climate is pretty hot year round in Panama City, but as you get towards Boca del Toro, Las Tablas, you start getting toward the mountains or Chetiki, you start getting up into the springs and all this. I mean, the climates are kind of really spring like year round in some of these spots. It gets a little bit colder up in the mountains and further down, but I mean, I'm just, some of the pictures and some of the things that you see are just absolutely gorgeous. So it's a place that I definitely feel I'm going to explore. And in the meantime, just talking about what does it take to dismantle the matrix. I want to do a couple different things, and we've talked about this before. I want to do online. You know, we already have online businesses. We need to get those businesses churning along. You know, you kind of want to. You can live off $1,500 to $2,000 a month very comfortably, but I want to be somewhere around five. And I'm very excited about it because I think I've kind of had enough. I definitely want to be dual citizen, but I definitely want to go somewhere where it's nature driven, it's beautiful, it's new cultures, different things to see. Of course, my wife is from there, and she's got the family there and a great support system. And you know, I just think I think it's something I definitely need to see. And if I ever decide I want to come back, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Right. Dual citizenship, yep. Not a problem. Yep. So this term expat, is there any negative connotation? Is that a negative label, or is that perceived as a positive label to have when you're over there?
Well, it's a positive label if you're over there because they welcome expats. They want your money in the economy. And, you know, they want your dollars there. That's why they give the incentives so that you will come there, build a house, you know, start over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could definitely see myself owning a home there. You know, there's no problem with the water. You know, the water is fine. It's just a lot of things, a lot of stores, you'd be surprised. So I would say anyone who's curious about it, go on YouTube and just check out some of the videos in Panama, Panama City, Panama, Las Tablas, Bocas del Toro, Chiriquí, and just kind of educate yourself a little bit more about why people are leaving and going there. There's a ton of people. When I was there last, I ran into a couple from Houston, Texas. It was at the time when the floods were going on in Houston. And I met a couple, and they were there to look at their vacation home. They wanted to be on the beach. I talked to the husband and the wife, and they both said, we found our place. And, you know, they're going to move there, and they're going to sell their home and put the rest in the bank and, you know, kind of downsize. But downsize with the intention that if you want to do whatever, you still can.
So I imagine because the area is not high in manufacturing, the air pollution and the air quality is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's a concern for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know if you go different parts of the world, like China, I mean, the air pollution is just...
Not even close.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even close to that. Air pollution is not an issue. You know, the medical fields are very good, very reasonable, very cheap, actually.
That was my next question, because I know a lot of Americans go there
yep.
for elective surgical
yep.
procedures
yep.
because
yep.
they're so affordable.
Yep, well, they go there, and they also go to Colombia. And for some of people that may be listening that may know, Panama used to be a part of Colombia, and somehow over the centuries or whatever, it seceded.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, used to be a part of it, so the line was redrawn, and Panama is its own country now. Panama is about the size of South Carolina.
And it isn't overcrowded?
No. It's got, you know, quite a bit of rural, you know, where people aren't really, like, Bocas del Toro is one of the great places that people go for vacation. It's really, really beautiful. It kind of reminds you of Bali, something like that. Some of the places that you'll see, it's a water town. It's water based. A lot of people go there to surf. A lot of people go to Panama to catch the waves in Bocas del Toro and some of the other places, La Tablas. A lot of people go there to see the waterfalls. It's, of course, Costa Rica is right next door. Panama is in the middle, and Colombia is right next door. So when you're talking about Costa Rica, you know, but here's the thing. I know someone who has family in Costa Rica, and I also have been following some blogs of some people that moved to Costa Rica. It didn't kind of fit what they wanted, and they moved on to Medellin, and that didn't fit what they wanted, and now they're in Puerto Rico. So, you know, you have to get the vibe. You know, we were watching that video earlier. He was talking about the vibe. I mean, you can go some places and get just as much traffic as you can that you're trying to get away from.
Right.
And then there's other places you can go and it's just like a sleepy town and it's just beautiful and you're getting up every day, you know, hoping to see some howler monkeys, you know, running through the trees, you know, because that's a possibility there. They do have the howler monkeys and the ecosystem is really, really fascinating. There's a lot of different animals and things that, you know, we're not used to here. And the weather is, you know, you got to be used to the heat because, well, depending on where you are, if you're down in Panama City, it's awfully hot. But, you know, as far as the closer you get to the beach, it's much nicer. And, you know, I'm really, really in love with Panama from what I've seen. I think it's a great opportunity. Plus, there's no conversion on your dollar. And
that's a big plus.
That's a big plus. All those things are big pluses. So, you know, how do you get there? How do you escape the matrix? And what, you know, what is it that we need to talk about? I think, and I kind of mentioned this to you earlier, I think the thing that we all have to be aware of is that from the time you're a child until in your years when you get close to talking about retirement like we are, you're taught to follow rules and you're taught to comply in a system that you think rewards you, that it's a reward system. So you go to college, you know, you're led to believe there's going to be a reward. You know, when you see certain things happen, we say, hey, man, that's not fair. And the reason we say that is because the expectations for the system are set. And so now we don't expect a guy to walk in with no education to jump us in a job and make more money than us.
Right.
Because we think those are these are the rules of the system, when in actuality, there are no rules to the system. And everyone is looking for fairness. There is no fairness.
Right.
You know, you've been programmed to believe that this is what's supposed to happen. You know, I went to college. I did this. I did that. And this isn't right. And so what you need to do to get out of the matrix is to begin to deprogram yourself and to write your own rules. But you have to hold yourself accountable while you write those rules. If you say, I want this, you can achieve this, whatever this is. And you say, I want a place on the beach. You know, if you set that goal, mentally adjust your thinking toward being on the beach, you find out everything you need to know about the beach, you do research and you do, you know, goal setting that will lead you toward the beach, you can actually end up on that beach. But in the process of you planning and doing all these things, it's a learning process. You should be consuming and, you know, what we call sponging. You should be soaking everything up like a sponge so that when you get into this other environment, you're not surprised or you're not led to go back into the matrix because it feels comfortable.
Right.
I mean, if you're familiar with the movie The Matrix, you know, there are people, you know, who said, hey, I want to go back to sleep. You know, I don't want to be awake anymore. Now that I know that this is what I got to do and I'm being chased all the time and I'm, you know, they're trying to suck me back in, I just want to go back to sleep.
Yeah, where it's comfortable.
Where it's comfortable.
And I don't have to think.
And I don't have to think. And mm-hmm. I don't have to know that it's difficult to get out of this. And the question you have to ask yourself is, did you let them steal your soul, steal your creativity, steal your spontaneity, steal your ability to observe and react? And if you've allowed them to do that, and when I say them, I'm talking about the people who make a lot of money and they just sit at home, like Bill Gates and many others. You know, they're making a couple million dollars every minute or whatever it is. I don't know what the equation is anymore. But there are a ton of people like Bill Gates who have others that work for him, and he does not have to work. Now, you can say, oh, well, yeah, he works. Well, those are semantics. you know, we can get into the semantics of it if you want to, but it really comes down to whether or not you can put a vehicle in place that will bring you in some money. And the question we all have is, why do you not have a system in place? Why did you project yourself to be a slave, to work for someone else?
Yeah, comfort, fear.
I don't think that was really it. You know what I think it's more than anything? I think it's compliance. I mean, we always overlook the fact that when you made these decisions, you were just following along with what everyone else did. It was just kind of like,
yeah, the major issue.
This is what my dad said. This is what my mom did. And they did this, and I'm doing this, and they're proud of me because I'm, you know, I'm doing this now, and they're all happy to see me with a good job, and I can feed myself, and I don't have to be in their home anymore. And compliance over time has solidified my place in the matrix. So now I'm a cube rat, and I'm in a cubicle every day, and everyone is in a hushed environment. You can't have a private telephone call. Anything you say is being listened to over the wall, and all these people huddle into this place and put their coat on the hanger and sit down at their keyboard, and you hear them pecking away on the other side or whatever. And it's, you know, when I sit in the job, I listen to these things, and it's insane. It's insane that we've led ourselves to believe that this is productivity, this is production, because the majority of what's being done
is not creative.
It's not creative, and
not progressive.
It's not.
It's nothing new.
And it's only compliance. And if you ask a question about why, you really can't get an answer.
Right. I've tried.
Yeah. You say, hey, man, you know, why?
Why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this?
Where's the ROI? Where's the benefit?
Yeah. Where is it?
Yeah.
No one knows.
Never got an answer.
You won't. Hey, man, just shut up and do your job. And what we need to do is, and I'm a firm believer of this, and so I'm not going to just sit here and wax and wane about this. What I am saying, am going to say on this podcast, and if someone agrees with me and wants to get in touch with me, we're going to make that available. You can right now, you can contact me through the Heart Mogul Radio with Shay K. Wolfuck and the Create 558 podcast, and she will forward those messages. But we're going to get our own website, and we're going to start answering our own email calls. That's coming. And so we're going to start interacting with the fans and the people who listen to this. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to say that I'm a firm believer in digital currency. I own some Bitcoin. I already am going to be getting into some Ethereum and some Bitcoin Lite, and I'm currently buying some every paycheck. It doesn't matter to me that everyone is saying that it's a bad idea, and that, you know, I read today that Congress is trying to regulate it because it's not based on anything. Well, the dollar's not based on anything either, because I've yet to see the gold bars that my dollar is supposed, or the silver that my dollar is supposed to be.
No, they took the dollar off the gold standard in the 70s. Yeah, so there is, it's totally
just paper.
Paper, yeah.
But the reason I brought that up, not to get into a Bitcoin spin, I brought that up to say, whatever you have to do to get yourself into an opportunity that allows you to be free. So it's almost like being in your cell and watching the guard with the key. My escape, I personally want to have 6 to 7 incomes on top of what I already know I have as a retirement. You're talking about stocks that we own. We both own stocks, more than just a couple. We're talking about retirement account, 401k, our online business, our Amazon business, and websites that we own as well, and individual products that we've created. So we're on track. We're doing these things. We have a plan. We're digging a hole. So if this is Shawshank, we've already started taking the rock hammer and hitting the hole when no one's watching. We're already behind the poster and digging the hole. Now, what I'm going to say to anyone listening is that one of the best ways for you to make money in this environment, whether it scares you or not, is to have an online website of some kind. If you don't know what your website should be, if it's difficult, you know, many people will tell you, do something you love and it's not work. I will never say that. What I will say is, do the hard work, whatever the hard work is, that will get you income, and then minimize the amount of time you have to do the hard work and take the money. So in other words, if you see a guy and he has a website, and on his website he sells keychains, and it's a certain keychain, and you say, you know what, man, everybody loves those. It's never going out of style. I can't undercut his price or whatever, but there's plenty of room out there for me to be discovered and him not to be. Or, you know, that, you know, I'm just going to sell them because they sell. This is the reason people sell T-shirts. You know, we all know that the barrier to entry in the T-shirt business is really, really not existent. Anybody can sell T-shirts, which makes your T-shirt less valuable than theirs. And anybody can steal your design for T-shirts. But you know why there are still people who sell T-shirts and the T-shirts sell? Because there's no barrier to entry. And the barrier is very, very minimal. You can either upload designs, or you can get the machine and press them yourself. You can get the shirts and press them yourself. You could start a T-shirt business right now and take any idea that pops in your head and put it on a shirt. And there are people that do that every year. So whatever the hustle is that it takes for you to take some money and then get into a business which will allow you to make money in your sleep, that's what you want. You want automatic money. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a trickle. And then you can turn the trickle into a flood over time. But you got to get the trickle coming in. That is the key. Create a website. And you offer some information that you know. Let's say it's a training class. Let's say it's a it's some coupon booklet that you put together. It could be a ton of things. But once you put this together and people, and you drive traffic to your stuff, and people start seeing your goods and services and they buy them, you know, let's say you made an agreement with, you know, the popcorn, Cinemax popcorn, and you said, okay, you know, if they buy this popcorn in advance, it'll take $2 off the popcorn they buy at the theater. You know, if you put that everywhere, you know, if that agreement existed, when it, you know, this is all fictitious, of course, you would sell a lot of them, because many, many people go to get popcorn in a movie, and if they knew they could get your coupon and get $2 off, they would print the coupon out and save it and go to the movie, and you would make money. And that's the way it works. And so you would literally get a little piece of that money by selling popcorn in advance. See how that works? And so I think that what we're trying to encourage people to do is look online. You know, there's a ton of places that you can go on Fiverr and sites like this. You, if you have an idea for an app, you can get an app made. You know, you can do a ton of things. And if you do those things, you'll put yourself in the position to make a lot of money. But you can't sit back and complain about the matrix and think that money's going to show up. It's not. And the sad part about it is that none of us are taught how to make our own money. We're only taught how to comply to what a company wants you to do. You know, I had a conversation, you know, with my son one day, and he's like, you know, you're working now. He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what do you do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Whatever they want me to do. Wow. See, And I told him this. I said, you know, dude, you could, at this point right now, you could work there for a little while. You could buy you a couple of lawnmowers or some really nice mowers and a truck and a trailer, and you could cut grass for 20 years and you'd make more money than you're making now, because eventually you would get to a point where you'd have some contracts, you'd cut that grass or do the maintenance or landscaping consistently, and you'd have other people doing it. So, you know, you got to look at that and say, what am I trying to do? And here's what I'll say to many of you all out there who may feel frustrated but not know where to start. Keep it simple. It's not the, here's the thing I understand. It's not the big, broad ideas that we all think about that are going to free you. It's something right in front of you, and it's simple. And if you break the money down, maybe 2,000 customers, which is hardly anything, 2,000 customers can make you rich. 1,000 customers can make you eat very well. If you have 1,000 customers on a product that's, you know, $19 a month, you know, let's say it's a product that is repeat purchasing. $2,000 a month is $250,000. I mean, you're looking at some serious bucks. And the problem that we all have is that we don't break it down to the lowest common denominator. We don't look at it as, okay, if I've got, $9, $10, $12 profit, and then $2,000, think about that, $12 of profit times 2,000 customers every month, man, you could live swell off of that. And so when you're starting to look at this matrix and you want to go abroad, you know, set something up, do something, provide something, look at a service that you can offer, find out what you would be willing to pay for. And our business, in our site, bettingonmyself.com, we are going to be providing those services that people will purchase so that they can get out of the matrix. That is what our site is designed to do. It's designed to help you get out. It's designed to give you the information, and we're going to give some of it away on our podcast. And in other cases, we're going to do what we have to do to put those things together. So if you just are willing to take a moment, find out what you can do, you can put yourself in a great position. So as I said, yeah, we're definitely going to be able to provide that on bettingonmyself.com is our website, and we're compiling that information. There'll be classes. There will be information for you to pull yourself out of the matrix. The name of the site is bettingonmyself.com, and the reason it is because you're going to have to bet on yourself at some point. And for us, it's been kind of difficult. We've been looking around, and we're going to do the research that you would have to search for. We're going to bring it to you all in-house, and you're going to be able to put the plan in motion for you to break the chains of the matrix, get out of working for other people, stop doing something for everyone else every day and nothing for yourself. If you need to learn how to put a website together, we can point you in the direction of where you need to go to get a website built. You know, we can offer those services and that information, and you can set yourself up and start getting you some secondary income, third income, fourth income, fifth income. There's all kinds of ways to make money outside of what you're doing right now. And if you have that money coming in on top of what you're doing, you could probably live a pretty good life. And for others who choose not, you know, you know, who wants to go be a Walmart greeter? I don't, you know. We're always saying, well, we want the benefit. You know, oh, man, you can get the benefits. Listen, man, I don't want your benefits. I want to be in control of myself. It's what's most important to me as I go forward in life and I hang up my work shoes for other people. It's important to me that I am able to work for myself, make my own decisions, travel abroad, go places, do what I want to do. I know we all think this is a fantasy, but it's not a fantasy. There are many, many people who do this, and you can do it too. And you have to put yourself in the position to ask the tough questions. What do you want to do? What do you like? Can you monetize it? Where can you monetize it? I will tell anyone over and over again that you need to be in a digital format, in a digital economy, and you need to be making money while you're sleeping. If you woke up and you made 12 bucks last night while you were sleeping, that's better than nothing. If you could turn that 12 bucks a night into 25 to 30 or 40 bucks a day or more, you know, at one point I was doing pretty well. I was doing over 100 bucks a day. That's a lot of money. And so if you add that up on a 30-day stretch, you're not doing too bad. And if you keep your everyday job until you've transitioned, it can become, you know, very lucrative. It can become very rewarding. It can become something that you can then teach your children to do. Because I've always said this, man, why am I just being taught, you know, things that don't mean anything? You know, you go to school and you're sitting here and you're watching all this stuff and you're taking classes you have no interest in, you know, you're never going to have. And when you ask the question of why, they say, this is the curriculum and, you know, shut up, you know. So it's just interesting. And so, you know, I know where I want to go. And I think the problem most of us have is that we're not given permission to think about these things. And if we do think about these things, we're afraid of what family and friends will say. And I think what will happen as you go along, if you're really serious about challenging yourself and breaking these, you know, the bondage chain, you're going to get to a point where it doesn't matter to you what anyone else thinks. And you may already be there, but it's not courage. You know, courage is not the absence of fear, because you're going to be afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is when you're afraid, but you do it anyway. That's courage. And when you establish great results from the courage, your confidence builds, your power builds. You then begin to be able to do other things that you never even thought about doing, like going salsa dancing in front of a room full of people when you have been terrified your whole life of dancing in front of people. See, I've done some of those things. I've gone and taken these trips. I've gone these places, and people say, well, how do you do this? I mean, what makes you, I mean, that's crazy. And I'm like, no, it's not crazy. It's not about being crazy. What it's about is you have one life to live and you have to experience life. And if you are content following rules and sitting back and allowing these things to be dictated to you, you're going to be, and you're going to feel angry at some point. And most of the time it won't be at someone else, it'll be at yourself.
Absolutely.
Because I look back on my time, and I've got plenty of time in the company, and I'm frustrated that I gave them that much time. But I'm 2 years and some months away from retirement. And when I retire, I'll walk away. And I've got people that tell me all the time, man, I can't believe you're going to walk away. Man, you're going to walk away? Seriously? And I'm like, yeah. Man, I don't know if I can do that. And what I realize is that everyone's looking over at the next guy. And we're all just sheep, you know, or cattle being led to slaughter. Because we're all reminded constantly of our mortality. We're all going to die. And so what do you want your story to say? Are you going to keep doing what you're doing? Or are you going to challenge yourself, do something different, put an honest effort together, and see what happens? And if it doesn't work out the first time, you just keep going, keep going, keep going, and eventually it will work out. You only lose if you quit.
It's like trying to start a fire in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You keep going until you get enough friction and heat.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes off.
Yeah.
And when it does, sometimes it's hard to control.
Yeah, it can
grow beyond your wildest imagination.
And you can go from no spark to a forest fire in a short period of time. So, you know, we're going to wrap up here, but, you know, we just need you all to stop being afraid. Create 558. is about, it's a creation company. It's about creating things. It's about creating your best life, creating products, creating time and effort that benefits you and your family and your loved ones. You know, create your best life. Get in shape. You know, drink plenty of water. Go travel. Go see some things for yourself. Don't let others tell you and show you the pictures. You go see it for yourself. And if you're willing to do that and willing to take that chance, you can become happy and fulfilled in the life that you have. But if you sit back on your deathbed and you regret it, it's going to be your own fault because you're afraid.
We are all our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
I'm my own worst enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get out of your own way. And so to get out of the matrix, step one. So let's just go back to that. Step one is to find you a digital format or that you could create a website or a product in, whether it's an app or whether it's a website that can generate you some cash. Even if it's a certification of some kind, let's say you took a really difficult class and it was really tough and you had to do it for work, maybe you can create a study site that will put some study questions together and you charge $5 or $10 and you pull those study questions in there and you get people to come to your study site and study on it, and that is a good idea. If you do those things, you'll make some money. And so we're just trying to throw things out there to get you all thinking and to get you all hopped up on chasing your dreams. And, you know, we really want to see some positive results from these things because, you know, no one's promised tomorrow. And so, you know, we're going to be signing off here from the Create 558 podcast. Thanks again to our wonderful, wonderful partner, Shay K. Wolfolk, and the Shay K. Wolfolk, the magazine, and Heart and Mogul Radio. And once again, I'm Craig Shanklin.
Steve LaFranza.
And we will catch you next time.